Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's a gloom hanging over Lincoln today, and it's not just the rain. This is the Pick Six Podcast. I'm Evan Bland, along with Sam McEwen and Tom Chattel. And guys, this was supposed to be a week where we anticipate the basketball postseason, where the women maybe ended up seated, what the men could do with the Big Ten tournament. We'll talk about that as the podcast goes on, but obviously the shocking news that dropped Wednesday morning, Trev Alberts leaving Nebraska as athletic director to take the same position at Texas A&M. And we'll just dive right into it today, guys, with the biggest question that everybody's asking. Why did he do it?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? And we don't have an answer. And I don't know if we'll ever get an answer, because I would assume that Trev will meet the media in Aggie Land next week, and he'll talk about A&M, and he'll get asked about why he left, and he'll talk about A&M. He won't talk about, I don't think he'll, I just don't expect him to go through Nebraska's, his time here, or what problems he had, or what reasons he might have had to leave down there. So I don't think, it'd be interesting to, find out, wouldn't it? Yeah, yesterday was shock. Today is everybody's trying to rationalize with their own theories. I see the governor's pointing fingers. This is the time now where everybody starts blaming everybody. So, it may be a combination of a lot of things. That's kind of what I was thinking about today a little bit. Just everybody wants it to be one thing, but might have been a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I don't even know what that is, but they have their theories. Was it the governor cutting back money to the schools or to the university, and how that would play on getting money from donors, and not having a president, and the lawsuit, and I just, maybe Trev's ambitions, probably more ambitious than, maybe I gave him credit for, because he was never really that ambitious at UNO, but now, maybe he wants to do other things. I don't know why you can't do those things at Nebraska, why you have to go to A&M and do them. He's taking a chance going down there that's going to work out. But he's not one of them. And that's certainly a place, every school likes to have somebody that they know and who's like us, right? A&M is definitely one of those places. And their boosters like to get involved, really involved. So anyway, yeah, we'll move on eventually. Evan, I don't know why. I'm sort of thinking it might be a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I don't know if it was one reason or not.
Yeah, Evan, that's a good question. I want to draw attention to the back half of Chattel's column that was very good and ran today in sports, where he kind of lays out the dynamics of Texas A&M. And he's exactly right that nothing there is easy. He kind of mentions how many, ADs they had, and so, like, when you think about this being somewhat of a dream destination, I don't know that I would describe Texas A&M as that. I just don't necessarily see it being an easy situation down there. The Board of Regents, I believe, is appointed by the governor. And so it is actually pretty political. And yeah, the donors down there have deep pockets that are able to buy out some pretty powerful people, including a football coach who was owed $75 million. What this isn't, and what somebody down there, a reporter down there, had noted to me, is that Trev Alberts probably could have followed Ted Carter to Ohio State 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
That's possible. And so he could have worked for the same guy he was working for at a university and athletic department that had all the answers financially and in football. He would have been able to take over a football program that was already, like, hitting on all cylinders. And if they had had to let go of Ryan Day, they could have hired literally anybody. But he didn't leave. He signed an extension back in November, and technically that extension was negotiated before November, and people can look at the contract online. But he signed an extension. He said that he loved the place, and something in the last 3 or 4 months probably changed. And the reason we can feel confident in that is that he didn't take the Ohio State job, and he was very much a finalist for the college football playoff job. And so something's changed. I do agree with Tom that it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Today, the governor, Jim Pillen, kind of pointed fingers at the university leaders for their inability to name a priority candidate to succeed Carter. It's been more than 200 days. It's been pointed out to me through our writer, Henry Cordes, that it was more than 200 days between Hank Bounds and Ted Carter. And so this isn't like an unusual amount of time, but obviously Pillen, who used to be on the Board of Regents, is pointing that finger today. In the reporting that I've done over the last, I don't know, 24, 36 hours, I think the lack of a clarity around that search was frustrating. And I also think there's just lingering out there is this $450 million Memorial Stadium project that there was just, uncertainty about a certain portion of the funding. Was it going to come from the state? Was it going to come from somewhere else? How is it going to come from the state? Small things like that. And then I think there's the last thing that I would point out is that it's possible that not having, like, not knowing everybody in a weird way can be almost a slight advantage, in the sense that, like, I think Trev had spent not only 3 years at Nebraska, but 12 years at UNO. And so he knew everything about the university system. And I think he probably knew every controversy, every debate, every frustration. I think a lot of people probably came to him over the years, when he was at UNO or at Nebraska, to share their thoughts with him. And so I think there was probably a sense of, like, he was in the middle of every conversation. And sometimes when you know so much and you're in the middle of so many things, maybe it feels overwhelming. Like, maybe it feels like, man, I'm just tired of having to be the guy that has a lot of the answers. Everybody knows he had a huge vision. Everybody knows that he felt like he was having to drag Nebraska into that vision, coming off of Bill Moose. And but I thought, Tom, you made a really good point yesterday about his legacy here. Like, okay, so why did he leave? But then there's the back half of, like, well, what is his legacy now at Nebraska?
Well, it's he's put football in harm's way, in a lot of ways. And I certainly liked Matt Rhule's tweet after it happened, after this was final. It was a brilliant tweet, and it kind of made people feel good about Nebraska, which was the intention. But the fact is, he doesn't have the two people who he came here for are gone, and. Matt Rhule's a big relationship guy, and so, well, they've got to take care of him on these two hires. But you also have to take care of the school. It's bigger than Matt Rhule, so you got to hire the right people. So, I just think for a guy who and to me it's I won't say use the word sad. I've known Trev for like 30 some years,
Right.
and nobody's a bigger Nebraska guy than him, at least until yesterday. Nobody's a bigger Husker, and everything he did in the job in 3 years was toward, making a better Nebraska and selling Nebraska. And, how many times I've talked to him in his office, you know, where he said, we're good enough here. We can do anything we want here and all this stuff. And then he leaves. I mean, it's just, it absolutely tarnishes the legacy, and not the playing legacy, but in a way people think of him when his name comes up now. And it's, and you know, they'll hire a good president, hire a good AD, Matt Rhule stays, they win. But he, I mean, he left when there was still a lot of work to be done. And, you know, that hurts. That can't, you can't, if you're a Nebraska guy, you can't do that for A&M. I mean, maybe if he'd had this incredible job, you know, maybe he was going to replace Charlie Baker at the NCAA or become the Big Ten commissioner or college football playoff guru, you know, czar. Then you could say, okay, I guess, but A&M, I mean, it pays a lot of money. Doesn't make it a great job. And then, by the way, now they're playing Texas, and Texas starts beating A&M, they're going to be all over the new coach's ass. And who are they going to come after then? The AD to get rid of the coach. So I'm not saying they're going to lose Texas. I'm just saying, you know, it doesn't take much there to get people fired up. Anyway, I just, you don't leave for A&M if you've got work to be done here, and you're a so-called Nebraska guy. So I just love to know why. And I can't think of a reason why that to me would make any sense. I mean, do you think that, and I mean, people are pointing, I think we're all pointing at things because we want to rationalize why this happened. And this idea that the lawsuit is chasing him away. Well, I mean, the lawsuit follows him, right? He doesn't get to avoid the lawsuit by leaving, right?
Right. No, I don't think the lawsuit is a driving force here. This is based on some reporting I've done. I think Alberts will be comfortable if the case goes to court. It may be settled as well, but I think Nebraska, you know, that, I mean, I think that it's the lawsuit follows him anyway. And Texas A&M hired him with the knowledge that he was named in the lawsuit, right? Like, they vetted all that. So it's not like they're unaware of it. So I don't anticipate it being that. I also do not believe that it's particularly related to a story that was run about his management of resources at UNO. That, you know, just based on talking to people around that story, nobody's quite sure what exactly the report was saying that UNO did. And UNO has not come out to be real robust and excited about trying to explain what that report was saying. I do think that people saw the response later that day from the interim president and the Board of Regents and the statements they put out later that day. And I think that probably reflected a kind of, hey, where are you guys in defending me on this stuff? Like, I think there was some of that sense of, you know, think about all the things I do. And there's this story, there's this UNO report that comes out 2 or 3 years after I leave saying I did something wrong. Are you guys, I mean, what's the university's stance on this? And I think they came out, you saw the statement. So I think there was some sense of just like, Trev's good. He's got his contract. He'll be fine. And maybe there wasn't a sense of appreciation. It's hard to know, like, whether he thought his work was appreciated or not. And that's not necessarily a good reason to leave. I'm not trying to make that excuse. I'm just saying that, like, maybe it was a sense of appreciation. Maybe it was a sense of like, hey, I'm tired of having to be the person that has all the answers while everybody just kind of goes about their day. Maybe that was some of it.
Well, it's not like he was Bill Byrne underappreciated. I mean, there was a guy who was sort of like the invisible man here. He did a lot of good things, but because he replaced Devaney, he was never going to be accepted by people. So, and that's a long time ago. I'm just saying, Trev was a hero to people. I mean, he was very appreciated, and he just got a giant contract. I mean, that's all the appreciation you need. I mean, and I didn't realize Henry Cordes told me about the two clauses, where he had to be top three in Big Ten in salary, and he had to be top 10 nationally. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people knew that, and that's huge. Right. I mean, that's a big commitment, because for a school that, you know, is trying to get money, well, we're always going to take care. We're always going to be top 10. You know, if you go below 10, we got to find money to make sure you're top 10. I mean, that's all you need. So, yeah. I don't know. I just think this was a serious curveball. But I think after today, and maybe today, we'll start looking at the future and start thinking about who's next. And it'll all, you know, just kind of fade away, maybe, I guess. You know, we got basketball coming up here. And I don't know. I don't know. Well, like I said, I don't know if we'll ever know the answer. People expect us as journalists to find it. We'll try. We'll get after it. But I kind of think maybe only one guy knows the answer. I don't know. I'll be talking about it.
Let me read. Like, I think this was the most illuminating statement of all the statements that came out. And that was what Trev wrote in regards to A&M. And he said, "Leadership matters now more than ever before. My interest in Texas A&M is not only due to its prestigious reputation, but also because of President Mark Welsh's compelling vision, which I believe athletics can play a small but important role in helping Texas A&M achieve unprecedented success." So when you guys hear that, does it sound to you like Trev, and Matt Rule's talked about this before, like when he's vetting guys in the transfer portal, was Trev Alberts running from something, or was he running to something with this move?
Yeah. You know, I don't know the answer to that. I think that, you know, leadership starts with Trev too. I mean, you know, and again, yeah, he might have been uncertain about who his boss was going to be. But he's more powerful than anybody in Lincoln. Maybe not the governor, but maybe he is. I don't know. Depends on what, on who had the better year. Is he really? I mean, I think weren't they gonna take care of him and make sure he likes the new president? I mean, they shared the vision, and I don't know. If he thought maybe the Regents were kind of bumbling around and didn't really have an idea what they were doing, that's one thing. But again, I think. And he was worried about funding and worried about this or that. I could see that, but it's still, you know, again, you're leaving a lot of people in the lurch, and you're leaving football. You know, this is going to be interesting. It's it can be very tenuous. So I don't know. Is that just because of that, you know? Yeah, leadership's a great word, but I think leadership is more actions than it is words.
Yeah, I think, Evan, if I had to pick between the two, I would say Fromm, because he knows how this is going to hurt his legacy and his relationship with the University of Nebraska. And so things had to be pretty frustrating to him for him to leave. And what I would say is that, again, like, I think there's just some aspect of the small but important role. Like, Trev Alberts is not going to go to Texas A&M and have to run the university. They're not going to let him, for one thing. Like, nobody knows him. So it's not like he's going to go down there and he's suddenly going to be, you know, deeply involved in, you know, the future of the engineering department or something. I think so he'll get to be an AD down there, and he'll get to worry about sports teams and putting A&M on the right foot and things like that. I think at Nebraska, he was just incorporated into an even larger role. And just as an example, so there was a circumstance where not long into his tenure, you know, there were people who, if they had a problem with X, Y, and Z, let's say it was the coach, who was the coach at the time, and instead of just like going right to the chain of command, which would be the AD, they would go to whoever they felt like they needed to go to get the answer that they wanted. And so I think part of what Trev did, not only with the football coach, but with boosters and donors and other people like that, is to get everything aligned. It was like, no. We're not going to have all these over the top things. It's going to funnel to the right chain of command. And I think on some level that improved, right? So that got better. I think Trev was receiving more of those things. But simultaneously, when Ted Carter left, who's the chain of command? Is it the interim president? Is it a chancellor who just got there and is learning the place himself? Is it Trev? You know, the governor is an interested party. You know, so I think again, Trev just—I mean, we all know this. He's one of the smartest people I've ever met, and he's one of the more intense people I've ever met. So, like, I think it's sometimes he had—you know—he was often the smartest guy in the room, and I think sometimes it was hard for him to hold back and just like not be able to have solutions for all kinds of things, and then not to see those things always come to fruition was maybe frustrating. I'm not trying to rationalize it. Fundamentally, Tom's opinion is really accurate. Like, the guy left after 2.5 years. It's a bad look.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I do think though that like the why factor is really important, because you know the governor comes out today and he's basically saying, here's what I think it was, and he's not blaming Trev Alberts, he's blaming the Board of Regents, and he was a regent, so like this is statewide news, and you know, so I think there's a lot of things still at play here, and this isn't going to go away regardless of who they hire next. These things are going to linger. Whoever they hire next isn't going to be Trev. And so that person's going to have to deal with the shadow and the vision that he left behind.
One more on Trev before we kind of look at what's next. How, when you guys saw this thing play out yesterday, I mean, maybe first just describe your emotional reaction to how it happened. And then what was worse? Was it the timing of the decision in terms of what's going on in Nebraska athletics? Or was it the fact that nobody seemed to have any idea what was going on for up to 8 hours until it was finally confirmed?
Yeah, I mean, everything. I mean, my reaction was, you got to be kidding me. You got to be absolutely kidding me. This is nuts.
Yeah.
This, I mean, I said, if you came up with 10 crazy scenarios, this would not even be on the list because you wouldn't even think of it. That's how I saw it. I thought he was at Nebraska. Well, you never say never. I've been surprised by many things in my career. And I always say I shouldn't be surprised by anything, but this one surprised me.
Me too.
You know what I mean? And what was the timing or the, to me, it was where he was going, and a little bit. I'm not that impressed by this move. I don't know that it helps his career that much. I mean, and he's walking into he's a very confident guy, but he's walking into a situation where you talk about from the fire into the for the frying pan into the fire. I mean, it's like he's going to have a higher profile there. And again, you're walking in where they're adding Texas. Everything will be measured now by against Texas. You're also got a new coach. That league is ultra competitive, and their boosters are ultra competitive. And I mean, the reason that the last three ADs left, it's not for everybody. And it's, you know, the last AD was an SEC guy and
was
went to Ohio State. So it's, I don't know. I guess everything about it was just the timing, where he went, the fact that nobody knew. I texted one of the regents and it was like chaos. We were caught off guard by this. Nobody knows anything. Prev's not talking. The fact that the regents didn't know may be a really big problem. That if they were caught flat-footed and didn't know, that's an indictment. And
agreed.
I don't know if the governor blaming them helps things. It makes Nebraska look a little more dysfunctional, with people pointing fingers and blaming. But they need somebody that's going to rally everybody, you know, rally around somebody. I don't see who that is. It's not the governor. It's not going to be the regents. They need a president. I do like Chris Kaborik. I don't know if he's on their list or not, but he's a Nebraska guy who cares very deeply about the school. If he could somehow step up and rally things, that might really, really help his cause. You know, I've heard the name John Cook as a AD. He would really calm things down. Like a couple of boosters reached out to me last night and saying we need Chancellor Gold to be the president and we need John Cook to be the AD and settle things down now. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess what they have to look at now is, do they want to calm the waters or do they want to go make hires that are long-term the right ones? And maybe those are the same things. But the regents have to, you know, whatever their timetable was has to be sped up, and they have to get it right.
Agreed. Yeah, the timing was a surprise, Evan. You know, I think clearly this was before Trev Alberts wanted to do it. I don't know if he wanted to wait until next week. I don't know if he wanted to wait until Monday or Tuesday of next week. I don't really know, but clearly the sources were from the Texas A&M end. Somebody told the Houston Chronicle, somebody told other people, it got out, and obviously things moved quickly. My understanding is the interim president, well, he knew that Trev was interviewing. So how that didn't get to the regents, now maybe it just, you know, didn't get to one or two of them. I don't really know, but we haven't heard from them yet. So not the best day for Nebraska. It looked pretty chaotic. And then, he made his decision and decided to leave. I'm not sure it would have been easy for him to come back in the building and settle things down after all that news got out. I don't know if he had made a final decision by the time that the news got out, but it would have been very hard. It would have been like Dana Altman, you know, when he left for Arkansas and then he came back, and I don't think it was quite the same. And I think it would have been, you know, it would have been a tough deal for Trev to come back. So for sure. Yeah.
Okay. So now we move forward, and Sam, you and I put out some names on a hot board last night. You know, even before we kind of get to the profile of it, like, what do you guys see as the time frame for something like this? Because as we've said, Nebraska still doesn't even have a permanent president in place. And ideally, that's the hire you make, so then that person can spearhead a search for an AD. I don't know that Nebraska is going to go that route, just based on some of the comments that have come out. But not knowing who the president is, generally speaking, who what kind of person or candidate should Nebraska be looking for to fill that void?
Oh boy, that's a good one. Matt Rhule is the first name that comes to my mind. You know, you got to make sure he's comfortable and is going to get what he wants. Of course, any AD that would come in here would be crazy not to do that. Obviously, I really think the course, you know, everybody, is the AD more important than the president? You know, some would say yes. The football coach is the more important than the president. So I would try to talk John Cook into, or they need to have an interim AD. I think Cook can be great. He still might want to coach. But I think he could, you can have an interim AD until next August. I think you can get through this spring and summer and get a president. Or maybe you do it to, maybe you bring those two in together. But I would think you want to get that president done this spring. And then I think you could have an interim AD for the spring and summer. And I really think John Cook could be a great interim AD. I think he and Rule would have fascinating conversations about coaching. I think that they would both love it. I think Cook has a calming presence. He's a old veteran, leader, one of the great leaders on campus. You told me he was going to be president. I'd say, okay. I don't know if he knows how to do it, but I bet he's learned. I think it's time to lean on him. It wouldn't take him away from, you know, he could. He's got volleyball assistants. I mean, those guys are out there coaching the team. I don't think it would impact that at all. I would go that route. Yeah, but again, I would try to get the president this spring. Or how about next week? Even better. And then go after the AD. And again, you have to make sure that you're doing right by the school and long-term vision, and not just trying to keep the football coach happy. You're trying to do both. But problem is, I don't know what that vision is or who has the vision. It's gonna be the new president. It starts there, but it's a tricky thing because all three, you want the president and the AD and football coach to all be on the same page, all have the same ideas. People will laugh at this, but I would use Rule as a consultant. He may not be here forever. He probably won't be, but
right.
The guy's really sharp, and he understands what, you know, the way things ought to be, how to build a team and leadership. And I'd get him involved in some of this stuff. He might not know the academians or all that, but he'd probably have some good ideas. It's a little above my head, all that stuff, but I can tell you what, just from my common sense tells me it's time to get their act together. And, you've had plenty of time to look for a president, go hire one.
Sam, just give us some names, Sam. You and I kind of looked at some of those just in terms of a general caliber of candidate that is out there.
Well, Cook's on the list. I don't know what his interest level is. And of course, if he were the permanent AD, he would have to hire a volleyball coach. You can't really do both of those jobs. It's too important. I don't know if he wants to do that. You know, I don't know if that's a passion of his to administrate. This is a business-oriented role now. It has a lot more to do with that than, you know, managing the sports teams the way Bob Devaney might have done or Coach Osborne might have done. So that's one, obviously. There's a bunch of different names. First of all, the job's going to attract a lot of interest. Let's be clear. Nebraska has money. Nebraska has facilities. If somebody really wants to come in here and overhaul Memorial Stadium, the entire master plan is there. I don't know if they can pull it off, but it's around. So I think it'll attract interest. Jamie Pollard will be a name that people bring up. He was probably a target to some degree the last time. But let's just be a little really, really clear here. Trev Alberts was the number one target for Nebraska the last time they looked for an AD. The reason that Trev Alberts didn't take the job or wasn't a target before that is because he didn't want to work for the people who were here before Ted Carter. So Was Jamie Pollard the number one candidate the last time? I don't believe he was. I certainly think he was probably talked to, and there was a lot of interest. But I believe Trev Alberts was the prime candidate the last time, and I think that the decision at the time made total sense. So Jamie Pollard might be in the mix. An AD that I like is out of Pittsburgh. Her name is Heather Like, Lyke. She attended Michigan, was an athlete there, then was an assistant associate AD at Ohio State for like 13, 14 years. And so she knows the Big Ten. She's been at Pittsburgh for a while. Pat Narduzzi is the football coach there. I think Narduzzi is just this side of Bo Pelini and his personality and his comportment. So, like, I don't think that there's anything that guy's ever done or said that's going to, like, be eclipsed by rule, if that makes sense. Like, she's not – her football coach isn't Mike Riley, is my point. She knows volleyball really well, obviously, and Pittsburgh's really good in volleyball, and it's gotten good, but not as good as Nebraska. So she'd have an appreciation there. Look at the ACC. Look at Pac-12 names of, you know, Scott Barnes out at Oregon State is an interesting one. Again, I assume lots of people will apply for the job. It becomes a question of, you know, what's the price point? You know, how much are you willing to pay? And then how much is that person who takes the role, you know, requiring an alignment of leadership? I think that was something that was really important to Trev Alberts. I want to say this the right way. I think it was probably more important to him than it might have been to other people, and maybe more important to him than it needed to be. And I don't say that as a criticism. I have a lot of respect for the guy, and I loved having conversations with him, but that was just something that was important to him, his alignment of vision. I think it's important to Matt Rhule, but let's be clear. Matt Rhule is, in my opinion, you know, the most steady and the most seasoned coach that Nebraska's had in that role probably since Frank Solich. Now, again, Bo Pelini was successful at Nebraska. Let's be clear. He was. He won a lot of games. As a person that managing a big football program, Bo had a lot of issues. Bill Callahan was still learning how to be a head coach when he got here, even though he's an expert in football. Mike Riley was the wrong personality match. Scott Frost was in over his head. So, like, some of those guys actually needed to have a match in their AD. And, you know, and I think it's important that Rhule is consulted and signs off on it. But, you know, I don't know that Matt Rhule doesn't need an AD looking over his shoulder or meddling or, you know, putting in their two cents. Matt Rhule's got enough sense. He's put in his own two cents, if that makes sense. So, you know, I think although Rhule is important in this conversation, he's a grown up. I mean, he can manage. Ask him. He needs to sign off on it. But I'm just saying that the spectrum of people that Matt Rhule can work with is broader than the spectrum of people that was comfortable to Scott Frost. Scott Frost didn't like working for Bill Moos. He didn't like working for Trev Alberts. I don't know who he would have liked working for, but Matt Rhule could work for either of those guys. And so I think there's a positive there in the profile. You don't have to limit yourself to, well, my head coach is real persnickety, and he's going to have a really hard time with anybody except this person. I think Matt Rhule can work with a bunch of different people, which is a positive. And so can Fred Hoiberg. So can Fred. He can work with almost anybody and worked with Pollard at Iowa State.
Yeah, I think the term I always think is just self-sufficient. I mean, he's been an NFL head coach.
Yeah.
He's honestly one of the most influential people in the athletic department already, just in terms of how he's invested in other sports. So, Tom, you mentioned earlier Trev leaving puts football in harm's way. And let's play that out a little bit, because obviously they're set for this coming season. Does the vulnerability come after this season in your guys' minds? So if Nebraska breaks through, they go to a bowl game, do other schools see that vulnerability, knowing that the people that hired Matt Rhule are not there? Or I guess let's just kind of play that out in terms of what can happen with football as a result of Trev Alberts leaving in the long term.
Well, let's be clear. I don't know anything about what's going to happen. But if you just connect the dots, losing the people that hired you makes coaches nervous. Now, Matt Rhule doesn't strike me as a guy who's really nervous. He's very confident in himself and his staff. He's going to get everything he wants. If they win this year and things get rolling, I mean, he's going to have everything he wants, and it's his program, and he may want to stay and keep going, and he can do that here. I'm certainly not going to say he's leaving anytime soon, but it puts that on the table. Certainly, when you don't have, you know, and I don't think football coaches sit there and obsess about the president, or, you know, maybe they don't even, you know, they want to make sure they're taken care of. But yeah, I mean, it's not a good deal right now. So, but again, I don't know what is going to happen. Rhule could certainly stay here a long time. Maybe he would win and leave. No matter if Trev's here, he'd still do that. So none of us have a crystal ball or know the future. We'll just have to sit back and watch. But yeah, but you're sitting here going, well, if they bring in the wrong AD, I mean, it's things could, you know, escalate in a hurry. So it's not stable right now. So, but I really loved Rhule's tweet that he put out again. That was just so perfect. I had never heard that whole Paul Harvey speech before, but just. And obviously, he's over in Scotland playing golf. He had somebody in the offices do that. But just the fact that he did it it really helped people, I thought, those who saw it. But I think there's some good, you know, I think once it settles down and the shock goes away, people will realize there are some good AD candidates out there, and as good or better than Trev. If you want to say it, you just gotta get the right fit. I really like the Jamie Pollard. I think he's done some good things at Iowa State. He's a Wisconsin guy and knows the Big Ten. He's made some really good hires. Done a lot of good things there. They're doing a big project outside their stadium where they're turning their tailgate area into sort of a retail sort of an entertainment thing for game day and sort of, I guess, expanding the tailgate experience too. So, you know, he's sort of on the cutting edge of that stuff. But yeah, there'll be other ones too. I think this is the timing of this helps Nebraska in a way because the Big Ten and SEC are currently getting ready to take over the playoff and in their own way. And this is a very attractive job. Being in the Big Ten is a place where people want to be. If you're at Iowa State, you'd rather be in the Big Ten than the Big 12, fighting uphill, trying to get in the playoff and or wherever, not just Iowa State, but Pittsburgh or wherever, you know, Baylor, you know, you can go out and get somebody that knows football, has experience, and will be very interested in being in Nebraska for all the reasons you guys said, the money, the facilities, the people in place. You come and take over AD and your coach is Matt Rhule. He makes you look smart in a hurry. But I just think the timing is good because this will be a really attractive job. But again, hire the president. The AD will want to know who his boss is. And if they don't have a president, people aren't going to come. They're just going to, I can't leave my good job to go to a place where I don't know who my boss is. You know, you've got to hire the president first. This is not that hard to figure out. So get that done next week. Again, these regents have had time to sort out candidates and figure things out. Let's go. It's time to go.
Agreed. Yeah. I think all those things are true, and football program can succeed. I think the biggest contribution Trev Alberts made to Nebraska athletics was to hire Matt Rhule, and that got done. And we're going to see what happens. You know, Trev's not going to be around to see how it turns out, but that was a huge contribution that he made, and the contract is good, and Rhule's got to. You know, Rhule's got to execute it. And I maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Matt Rhule will leave and just say, you know what, whatever. But I don't know. I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to try to really to take this thing as far as he can. I don't think you can just walk away from this one. You know, I don't think so. I think he's a football historian, and I think he likes. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I was wrong about Trev. I always thought Trev might be gone in 5 years. He never struck me as somebody that wanted to be in this thing forever. But I am surprised that he left.
I think it's, you know, you talk about like Matt Rhule maybe probably wouldn't have come to Nebraska if it weren't for Carter and Alberts. But now that he's been here for a year and a half and you see how he's plugged into the community and invested in the people and the program, like, I agree. It would surprise me if he backed out and moved on. He's talked with us about not wanting to uproot his family again and liking the community. So I don't know that it comes down to one person at this point. I think Trev was incredibly important and influential on the front end. But now that Rhule's been here this long, it would surprise me. And maybe I'm wrong too, but I guess we'll see. Let's close it on something a little bit lighter, something that maybe on most weeks would be the dominant topic of conversation. That's Nebraska men's basketball. They're heading into the Big Ten tournament. They're the number 3 seed. They get that double bye, which is not something folks around here are used to, waiting to play until Friday. As of this recording, they're going to play either Penn State or Indiana late Friday night. What do you guys think as you're looking at the Big Ten tournament this week and then beyond? What are you expecting from Nebraska in Minneapolis, and what bearing do you think that'll have on their seeding for Selection Sunday?
Well, not much. I think the seeding is usually done Saturday. The committee right now is still watching games. They're in a giant suite at the top of a hotel in Indianapolis. And there's probably 8 TV sets in their big ones. And they all have a different game on, and they're watching games, and they're at their big giant table with their laptops, and you know, going through, they're debating and arguing in teams, and right now they're trying to figure out who's going to be in the tournament. So that'll be today and tomorrow. They kind of do that stuff, and they kind of scrub. They call it scrub the each team, and you know, go through the analytics of each team and try to figure out who's in, who's out. So there's a lot of bubble stuff today and tomorrow. Nebraska probably won't come up very much. So whether or not they win Friday night is not really, I mean, they're going to be in, I assume. And the seed is probably a 9 or 10. And you know, whether or not they, you know, they'll play Illinois Saturday afternoon. That could certainly, if they beat Illinois, could knock them up a line. But I think we're still talking about 10 or 9 or 8. There's no difference between 8 or 9. There's just, you know, I've 8 plays 9. So I don't know that there's a big difference there. You don't want to play a 1, but do you want to play a 2? I mean, I don't know. I think Nebraska wants to win a damn game and take their chances. They don't care who they play the second round. Just get me to the second round. So the Nebraska fans are in great shape. Everything is good. You're going to be in. You're going to have a good seed. And, you know, why not go win this tournament? I don't know. It's not the Big East or the Big 12. To me, those are the top two conference tournaments that you want to win. But you're in Nebraska basketball, you can get a trophy, why not? Problem is, big old Zach Edey is going to be standing in the way on Sunday. And he remembers early Tuesday night in early January. downtown Lincoln. So, but it's fun. This is the fun part. I'm really curious how many fans are going to go up there. You know, they used to drive to Kansas City 3 hours, and show up down there and have fun. You know, are they going to, you know, this is the closest spot, conference tournament spot to Nebraska. So they're going to hit, get in the car tomorrow and head up. I hope so.
Yeah, there'll be seats. I mean, there's going to be seats late Friday night. A lot of the teams will already be out. You know, Minnesota's probably going to lose today. So that'll be, you know, the end of their run. And so, you know, there'll be some open seats for sure. I think, you know, right now in the bracketology, if you go to the bracket project, which I like because it's like 95 brackets, Nebraska is a 9 seed. There's a couple, you know, that have them as 7, you know, in that 95. Maybe they can play into that. I guess if they won the whole thing, they could get up to a 6, which is where the 94 team was when they won the Big 12 title, or Ben, sorry, Big 12, Big 8 title. So maybe they can do that, and that would be neat. You know, anything in the 6-7 range, and you're got a possibility to go to Omaha. I mean, you just don't know. Iowa State is pretty much a lock for Omaha. Doesn't really make any difference what Iowa State does the rest of the way. They're either going to be a 2 or a 3, and they're going to be in Omaha. Looks like Kansas has played its way out of being in Omaha. They lost last night. I don't think they care because they didn't play 2 of their better players so they can heal. So now, if you look around at the bracketology sites, it's kind of interesting, like who else they have coming here. Jerry Palm out of CBS has Illinois. Well, Nebraska's not going to be paired opposite Illinois in a thing, especially if they play Illinois at the Big Ten tournament, which I think is definitely possible. You know, they're not going to be opposite Illinois. As I look at ESPN and the Joe Lunardi look, I'm kind of scanning it as we speak right now. Baylor is there. You know, if you played up to a 6, could you play Baylor? Yeah, you could. That could happen. It'd be sort of a rematch of the 2014 game that Nebraska lost to Baylor. So if they played in the second round, not in the first round. So, you know, there's a chance to move up to that 6-7 spot and potentially get to Omaha. I think that's one of the goals that's reasonable to have. And I, you know, I'm with Tom. I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think they're going to win the Big Ten championship. I think they're going to win one, get to Saturday. Don't love their chances if it's Illinois. Don't love their chances if it's Iowa, to be honest with you. And Iowa could be there. And then, you know, Purdue, not in PBA, tough task. I just don't see Nebraska beating Purdue away from PBA. Guess we'll find out. Love to see them play to Sunday, right? That would be awesome if they were to play all the way to Sunday and give people the same experience they had last weekend with the Husker women.
Tell us about the women, Sam. What's your expectation for Selection Sunday for them? What seating they might fall in, what you can expect?
Right. So they advanced to the Big Ten championship, lost to Iowa. I think there's a chance that Nebraska is a higher seed than they're generally projected to be. They've moved up to an 8 in most of them, which puts them opposite a number one seed. Their analytics probably trend better than that. I think their analytics give them a shot at a 6 or a 7 because of all the teams they played and because of all the games that they played against those teams, like playing Iowa 3 times and sweeping Michigan State and sweeping Michigan. These teams are going to make the tournament. I think there's a chance for them to inch up to the 6 or 7 line. The problem they have, and I actually don't think it's that big of a problem, but I think other people probably will, is they lost to Creighton at home. And Creighton is probably no better than a 6, and in many, many things is a 7. And Creighton's a better basketball team than Nebraska. I just got to be honest about that. Now, I don't know if they're a better team in the NCAA tournament. It depends on the matchup. And Nebraska played a much harder schedule than Creighton, but Creighton beat Nebraska straight up. All fair. Everybody played. And so I think Creighton, if Creighton's a 7, then Nebraska can't be any better than a 7. If Creighton's a 6, Nebraska could be a 6. You know, I think it kind of comes down to that. So we'll see. I think Nebraska will end up a 7, if I had to guess. I think it'll be a little bit better than it's projected. And and we'll see what that means for them in the tournament.
Well, it's going to be a heck of a fun couple of weeks here coming up. The men's teams, the women's teams. I hope Husker fans can enjoy, and Creighton fans on the other side can enjoy the week of hoops. Obviously, we're going to have a lot more on Trev Alberts moving forward and the AD search. Do you guys have anything else before we wrap this one?
Nope.
You drove us well, sir.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll have plenty more, obviously, on Trev Alberts and the AD search moving forward. But enjoy this week of hoops. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.